We get a good chunk of our common story this evening. So we've heard these passages relating how God has worked among us all the way back to the very beginning. We hear creation was good, and that God intended creation to be good. And yet we know that we went off the rails very quickly if we progressed much further even in our Genesis story. We know that we are not functioning as God intended in this world, that things are not good, are not right. And yet we also hear that God has been at work to address this. God has been making covenants and promises. God has been seeking to offer redemption and life, to find ways to work against the powers of sin and death. And so we have some stories as sort of last-minute saves that God does. We see this for Isaac, who God tests Abraham with and says, you know, offer up your son, your only son whom you love. But at the last minute, Isaac is spared this fate, is spared from death, and a ram is offered in his place. You see something similar happening with the people of Israel as they leave Egypt, that they are certain their death has come as this huge army comes up behind them and pinches them in. But once more, God saves them from this certain death and offers something else instead. In this case, the entire Egyptian army, that they no longer need be afraid as they make this wilderness journey. Those who were seeking their lives are now dead themselves. And so we see God offering again this redemption, this salvation. And we hear these promises of God that we have known blessing. That God working in our life to offer us redemption and salvation is a wonderful thing. We also hear that we weren't ever to keep this to ourselves. Even in that initial covenant with Abraham, we were blessed to be a blessing. That this blessing was meant to radiate out into this world. Indeed, we hear this, I think, in our reading from Proverbs as well. That this wisdom is calling out and crying out to be experienced in broad ways. And wisdom was never meant to be tucked away with just a few, but is meant to be shared. And this wisdom, of course, is the fear of the Lord. Is to acknowledge who God is and to follow in God's paths. This wisdom would serve us well, be greater than gold, would be greater than all the treasures we could find. And this wisdom longs to be shared with us, to the simple, to those without understanding. But of course, we don't accept those terms about ourselves. No, we know better than wisdom. And so we depart. From this cry, from this call, we go our own ways. We listen to other voices, voices that lead us to death. This is what happens for the people of Israel, in that they go into exile. They have departed from God and what God would say to them. And so Ezekiel then cries out to this people in exile who have experienced this brokenness to hear that God's grace and redemption is still at work for them. God wants to give them a new heart and a right spirit. God wants to change their machinery altogether. We know that we won't listen to wisdom, so we need new hearts, not those of stone, but those of flesh. We need a new spirit within us that will seek to be drawn near to God. And this is what God would provide for us. God shares God's grace lavishly upon us once more. And yet even still, even with these aids, even with God's help, we aren't always willing to share the grace that we have known. Jonah's story demonstrates this to us. There are those we see as enemies, and we do not accept that God would want them to repent and to live. We demand complete destruction of those who are against us. We want God to function as God did with those Egyptians and to drown all of our enemies in the sea. But this is not what God asks Jonah to do. God asks Jonah to proclaim God's word to the enemies of Israel that they might repent. And so Jonah flees from the presence of the Lord. Jonah refuses to share this news from God. Jonah does not want to be the faithful prophet here, just as we often have those we would withhold God's grace, God's mercy, God's word from. Those we might think aren't worthy to receive it. Those who we don't even want to give a chance to amend their lives and do something different. And so what we see then throughout our stories is God has offered us this redemption, as God has stepped in to share with us this grace and salvation, as God has at the last moment saved us from death time and time and time again. We hear this challenge that even when God restores us to life, sin still is at work around us and among us, enslaving our minds and our thoughts, leading us astray with its falsehoods, its empty promises, its desires. And we hear then in our reading from Romans that there is only one way to be fully and truly freed from sin. And that way is death. Which of course is not a path that we would like to take. We would rather not die. We are much more comfortable with a God who steps in to save us from death. The God who might even wait till it's really close, but then still offer us this comfort. We are more comfortable with a God who would strike down our enemies and offer us life. But we have seen that this is not the path to being freed from sin. We must go to death. And even here, God is at work. God chooses to take this path with us. God takes on flesh to suffer and die, to open a pathway for us that says death cannot destroy us. And we see then through Christ something new happening. As we hear in our reading from Romans, we are joined to Christ's death fully in these waters of baptism. We die that we might finally and truly be freed from sin. We do not go around this uncomfortable reality, we go through it. And so now we see God working in a different way. Instead of saving us from death at the last possible moment, God offers us redemption and life through death. That very force that we were so afraid of, that we were certain would lead to only bad outcomes and conclusions, that force that sin would leverage against us and say, you don't have to die, you can go other paths, we can save you, even as we put the cords around us and bind ourselves all more tightly to death. No, it is death now that is our path to liberation and salvation. Joined to Christ's death, we can be joined to Christ's life. And this is the good news that Jesus has come to proclaim to us. Jesus is the one anointed with the Spirit to share with us good news. We who have been oppressed by the powers of sin and death, Jesus draws near to and shows us ways that we can be built back up out of the ruins of our lives. Jesus is this faithful prophet who goes to us who have functioned as the enemies of God and speaks words of grace and of repentance, who invites us to turn anew and to experience the life and love of God. Jesus is faithful in this goal and in this mission. Jesus never runs away to Tarshish. No matter how much we function like God's enemies, Christ draws near to us and shares God's word with us. We are invited to see Jesus again today, just as Mary does. We who have been so certain of sin and death's power cannot perceive that an empty tomb could mean anything other than a dead body being removed by someone else. With Mary, we stand weeping because we cannot see Jesus. We do not see our Lord and our teacher. We do not see this one who has come to proclaim to us God's truth, God's word. Even though there are signs for us today, there are these angels who wonder, why are you weeping at the sight of the resurrection? We have Jesus drawn near and asked the same question, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? Do you not know that it is me? And of course, in our grief, as we still think that death is so great, as we can't see other possibilities in what we have experienced, we still don't see Jesus. We need Jesus to call our name, to help us recognize the good news that God saves now through death, and that we somehow can be joined to both the death and the resurrection of Christ. We can draw near to our Lord and Savior. Rabboni, teacher, you are living. You have defeated death once and for all. And so now we can, with confidence, enter into these waters and know both the death of Christ that would free us from our sin and the life of Christ that would help us walk in newness and in ways that would proclaim God's glory, might, and love in this world. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we are invited to turn with Mary, to see afresh these waters that where we will affirm our baptism again this evening. These waters that join us fully to Christ's death and resurrection. And we are invited to turn to this feast that we will share, where our risen Lord and teacher draws near to us, speaking our names as beloved children of God, nourishing and sustaining us with God's own presence. Here Christ stands, risen, that we may have every confidence that God has the strength to save us and to offer us newness of life. That death does not have the final word, but God does. That the power of the resurrection is offered here. And this good news is so great that we would never dream of keeping it to ourselves. That we could not think that this grace should be hoarded, but no, it must be shared lavishly and freely. We must go forth today and in the days to come with shouts of joy and thanksgiving upon our lips. We go forth, bursting forth out of here to celebrate and share the love of Christ as we proclaim, Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.